Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you know, I never like to see a season come to an end. And that said, I can't wait to see what... I've seen enough of the football this year. We've all seen enough of the football. And I can't wait to see what this team does in the offseason, because to me, that's wildly entertaining as well. And to see what they do, you know, whether it be front office or coaching changes, whether it be personnel changes, and there will be plenty of those. It's entertaining to me to watch how teams build and who builds them and how they're built. And that'll be part of it coming up. And that all said, it's incredibly disappointing because this season had some promise. And it went south, and it went south in a hurry.
Well, and especially a team that's at such a crossroads as this team is. I mean, there are two paths you can take. And I am fascinated to see which path they attempt to take. One of them is the blowtorch it to the dirt and start it anew. And the second one is the, all right, let's see if we can thread the needle. Let's yank the levers on all these different contracts. Let's see if we can get a veteran quarterback in here that can possibly win you some football games. Let's use a draft pick, maybe see if we can bring somebody along as well, start that whole thing going, because the guy who's here, frankly, I don't think has any sort of a future that involves throwing footballs for this team. And bringing somebody else in to get that going, and then maybe retool along the way and see if you can return this thing back to a playoff caliber roster. It's a serious, serious crossroads.
And that is threading the needle, too, as you said. JJ's in Cleveland. JJ,
what's happening, JJ?
Thanks for your patience.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
Well, thank you.
Well, man.
I'm going to start off by saying I love this team. We haven't been good since 99, and it kind of sucks, and it's weighing on my fandom at this point. I don't care what they do. Just can I get a team that freaking – wins consistently and just don't look like trash every year? We had one year, which was last year, maybe a year before that, where we looked like, okay, you know, these guys is turning it around. No, they're not. They're still stuck in the mud. I can't wait to move. I can't wait to get off the mistake by the lake. I'm sick of going down there watching this team just poop they sell. Is the best way I can put it without getting cut off. It's just poop they sell every year. If I'm Myles Garrett, we wasting talent.
All right, JJ. Way to thread the needle on not getting dumped.
Yeah, I had to. It was borderline. Look, there are a lot of people whose fandom is beginning to wane on a lot of things. A very good friend of this show has blown up my phone on numerous occasions involving his fandom seriously waning with this team.
I just went downstairs and got some water from our store downstairs, and my buddy JJ, who somebody will text him and say that somebody mentioned him on the radio. JJ said, I went to the game with my grandson yesterday. He said, you know, when you watch on TV, you can get up and go to the fridge. You can go mow the lawn. You don't notice it as much because you're not completely engaged. Maybe he said, I sat there and watched it. It was just awful. He said the team was terrible.
Did he deliver it in that deadpan of a
manner? Yeah, he said they were just awful. And he said, and you know, you're sitting there, so you don't have a choice. You can't go to the fridge. You can't go mow the lawn. He said, I sat there with my grandson. He said it was just awful. And yesterday it was. And I do agree with what Scott said. It's the culmination of what's been a really disappointing season. If Jameis Winston, well, not that Jameis is the answer. When Jameis was playing quarterback, it was much more entertaining, and the Browns had a much better chance to win. And they changed and went to DTR, and then Jameis ends up with a shoulder injury as well. But unless I'm forgetting something, the move was made before the injury happened.
Correct.
The move was made for performance. Well, why was that move made?
Well,
why was that move made? That makes no sense. It makes no sense. Jameis wasn't incredible, but everybody was better with Jameis at quarterback, and you make the move. Now, are you making the move to lose games because you know the season is shot? Maybe. That's the only valid thing I can think of. And the whole let's evaluate DTR. You had him in training camp. You had him last year. You've had him in practice every day. You can't evaluate that way? Nothing against him. I'm pulling for him like crazy. He doesn't look like he's certainly not an NFL starting caliber quarterback. Not now. Would you be confident if he were your backup? Not now. Could he get there? Yeah, sure he could get there. And it takes some guys longer. I get that. And I'm pulling for the kid like crazy, but I was baffled when they made the move. You got rid of the guy because of turnovers, Jameis, right? Okay.
That was what I was going to add in.
Fine. One touchdown, 10 interceptions in his career for Dorian Thompson-Robinson.
Yeah.
1-10.
Yeah.
What kind of a ratio is that?
A bad one. The kind of ratio that, frankly, gets you benched and or sent to a different league to play football.
That's correct.
But this is the thing. And I don't know. Again, we don't know. We're not in the locker room. We're not in these meetings. We're not in the rooms, as they would say. But, like, I'm with you. I would have rather had Jameis out there whipping interceptions all over the place, because at least with interceptions came the touchdowns and the points. I would have rather watched an offense that had explosive capabilities than watching an offense that seems like it's got a dome over it, and watching a quarterback who the game is moving too fast for. And he can't slow it down, and he can't keep up to the speed of it. And I would rather watch that than a poor kid just look completely overwhelmed by everything that is taking place around him.
And we're all pulling for him like crazy, but I think we've all seen enough.
I can't state this enough. I want every quarterback to succeed.
Absolutely.
Because more good quarterbacks equals more good football. I don't care what team they play for. I want them all to succeed, because I want to be able to flip on the TV at any given point and watch competent, high-end, high-caliber NFL football. And what I have seen from Dorian Thompson-Robinson and what I have seen from Deshaun Watson this season is not high-caliber, entertaining, competent football. And you can toss Jameis in there if you want. I'm not going to fight you tooth and nail. I at least think with Jameis, he'll whip the ball around the yard. And so that's the problem that they're in. Is until they find somebody who can play a competent level of NFL football, we are going to continue to spin in the mud. And whether you think that that's because of an offensive line woe and that's the cause of the problem, or if you think it's a lack of skill position players, or you think it's a lack of scheme when it comes to running the ball, to setting your team up to succeed, whatever reason you think it is, they're probably all correct. It probably all plays into it. There is some level of offensive incompetence that comes from every single position and probably coaching that is taking place there. And until you get a singular philosophy that is followed by everybody to get a quarterback to succeed and skill position players to play at the level that they need to, and an offensive line to block at the level they need to be, and a running back position that can work its way forward, read an offensive line hole, and go from there to set up play action, until you get all of those things pulling in the same direction, it looks like this. And that's what everybody is so sick and tired of watching for 25 years.
Jack is in Concord. Jack.
How are you, Jack?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I've never called before, so bear with me for a second.
Man.
I have two things that I'd like to bring up. One is that in business, there's something called succession planning, in which you know who's on your team, and you know that they might be ready to move on, or they're getting older or whatever. And so you start thinking about how you might be replacing those players. And one way that I think Andrew Berry has fallen short is allowing this team to get as old as it has and not having the right people in place. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, rather than go out and look for a quarterback, I think they need to find a really, really good quarterback coach who knows what he's doing, who's built players, and people like Sam Darnold, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert, who have evolved into something that's pretty extraordinary, wasn't just because they woke up one morning and became good. They were mentored. They were coached by someone who knew what he was doing and how to do it, and they became better. So that's where I would start. But beyond that, I'll listen to you guys, and thanks for listening to me.
Jack, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
So here's the thing that happens with that, Jack. Unless you're Tom Clement, who probably everybody listening has no idea who in God's green earth Tom Clement is. Tom Clement is the quarterback coach for the Green Bay Packers and has been there since Brett Favre.
Former Canadian Football Leaguer.
Uh-huh. That is the only guy that I can think of that has maintained quarterback coach position throughout his entire career. What usually ends up happening is if you are the quarterback coach, you become the offensive coordinator. And when you become the offensive coordinator, you get hired to be a head coach in this league. And when you are no longer the head coach in this league, you go back to being an offensive coordinator. There are very, very few people who are out there who are quarterback coaches and remain quarterback coaches throughout their entire career. Unless you go outside of the NFL systems and get the private coaches and all that kind of stuff, which all of these guys have. Every single one of them has their own private quarterback coach, along with having a quarterback coach inside of the building. So that's the problem. I love that idea. I wish that was the case. I wish you could go find a newer version of Tom Clement, who I think Tom is like got to be 75 at this point. But like, if you went and found a newer version of Tom Clement, I'm in. The problem is when you hire those guys, like Josh McCown, right? Everybody points to Josh McCown because he's with the Vikings and is doing wonders when it comes to Sam Darnold and all that stuff. He's probably going to get hired as an offensive play calling coach. My guess would be this offseason. And when he does that, he will probably then be hired as a head coach. And then he will be, when he's let go as a head coach, he'll go back to being an OC. Because that's just how this thing goes, because there's more money in being an offensive coordinator than there is being a quarterback coach.
Kevin Stefanski was a quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and what happened to him? Exactly what you just laid out. You know, an interesting guy who is a quarterback coach right now, and this is where, to me, this is the kind of thinking that maybe the organization needs. Kyle Shanahan hired Brian Griese to be his quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
When Brian's Monday Night Football gig went away. Remember that whole thing, and Troy Aikman and Joe Buck came over to ESPN, and it was Louis Riddick and Brian Griese, and they're out. And so Griese goes into coaching, and they said, hey, by the way, find us a quarterback late in the draft. He said, you know, I saw this guy play a little bit. Why don't we draft this guy late? And there's Brock Purdy, who, by the way, was taken long after the Browns drafted Cade York. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.